Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Hello, everyone. How are you today? Welcome to everyone to come to Every Nation Taipei. I want to let you know that I really appreciated that Pastor Bruce and Cherry, that they're just a good friend of ours, and we get together, we can spend for hours and hours talking. So anyway, I thank God for the opportunity and thank for all of you to receive us. And we may have in and out of the place because we travel globally, and we also ministry in some of the restricted countries, a country that has been persecuted and a totalitarian regime. So therefore, that when I share something here, you may not see me that on the YouTube because of that reason. But anyway, this morning, it was really such an honor to be here. And my lovely wife, then she, Jiang, would you stand up and wave at people and people can see you? Jiang and I, we married for 47 years. And our parents, actually my mother-in-law, father-in-law, just celebrated a 72 years marriage. And my mother just had a 100-year-old birthday last week. We talk about these numbers, it's just overwhelming me. And again, Pastor Bruce's mother is 97 or 98, right? Listen, if you want to serve the Lord faithfully, you know, really give you all your heart, longevity is part of the package here, amen? So I believe that God want to bless you, bless all of us. Today, I want to share with you the message. The message really, I like to name the message as the power of the cross. The power of the cross. Let me lift this up a little bit higher. See if I can, I don't want to break this thing. Okay. Okay, that's good. That's good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay. The power of the cross. And before I share this, I want to let you know that I'm going to divide the message into three parts because I want to show you some of the photos. And that's why I'm kind of stepping away a little bit here. So I want to call this message, the power of the cross. I'm going to divide into three parts. Have you ever heard the good, the bad, and the ugly? Have you ever heard that term? The good. Okay. The good is what the power of God, what Jesus down on the cross has done to us. That's the good part. We all love that part. Okay, the good. The bad is what he has to suffer. Because his suffering that we are able to get the blessings. That's the bad part because he paid the price for it. The ugly part. Okay, you wonder what the ugly part is? Salvation costs you nothing, but discipleship costs you everything. In other words, not only he picked up the cross, now it's you and I need to pick up our own cross. Now that's, again, in terms of you or me seeing as, oh, that's the ugly part. No, I don't want to hear that. Just give me everything cost free. I don't want to cost me everything. I want to cost me nothing. So that's the part, unfortunately, I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to share with you as well. So before we start, I'm going to read a passage that is not on the PowerPoint. I'm not a person that uses PowerPoint a lot because I used to be hiding from place to place in the countryside and minister to 100 and 150 leaders, and we don't have cell phones, we have nothing. We're just, you know, if we get arrested, we'll get arrested. That kind of a ministry have done that in the communist country for many years. So I'm not used to PPT, but I'm going to trust the person who handled the PPT for me will follow me. By the way, these are people wonderful. I just really appreciate the team here. So let me just read this, not from the PowerPoint, but this is what Isaiah 53:3-5. Now we share that all the time. We quote that scripture all the time. We know the scriptures by heart. But let me just highlight on that, okay? And it says that he is despised and rejected by men. I'm talking about Jesus now. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Let's pray. Father, I praise you and thank you for this reading of the word. I know, God, that you're going to speak to us through this. I pray, oh God, today that we'll be able to understand the foundation of the cross, the power of the cross. Thank you, Jesus, God. Give us the opportunity to share your word. And I pray, oh God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will fall upon all of us today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So today, the power of the cross. I want to just review a couple of the scriptures from the PowerPoint right now. And just to give you just refreshing a little bit about after he has done us the salvation, the redemption plan, what happened to us then? Romans 8:17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. You know, it's very interesting that a lot of time we talk about children, you sometimes wish to be children of someone, the richest man in the world, whatever his name is. You know, I wish I was born in his family, you know, I would have everything that he has and all that. So, but this scripture tells us that we are his children. So therefore, whatever he has is ours. We are the heirs and heirs of God and the co-heirs with Christ. So that's number one, what he has done on the cross, the power of the cross has really bring us to the place of we are the heirs. Number two, I want to share with the scripture from Hebrews 9:15-17. Again, the scriptures talk about for this reason, he's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, then those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessities be the death of the testator. And for the testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testators live. So in other words, that when he died, that's when we inherit everything that he has. If I die, then the will will be written, so and so will be taking over everything I have, all my estates, all my investments, all the money in the banks, all the possessions I have, because that's the beginning of the inheritance. So again, these scriptures are all helping me to once again to see how blessed I am. I really honestly, I thought, just receiving Jesus Christ, and this is the kind of a package he gave it to us, that he wanted to give us everything that Father ever has through his son, Jesus Christ. The last one, I want to share this, then I'm going to give you the benefit of the four things that happened to her. Hebrews 10:20 says, a new and living way was opened for us through the curtain that is his body. In other words, when he died on the cross, that curtain, that veil has been torn apart, and now no longer we have to go through the Holy of Holies, through the high priest in order to get that forgiveness. We can go directly to him. He comes directly into our hearts. In other words, that there is no more veil between us and the Lord. And so this scripture really, again, it gave me such a blessing to see that, God, I'm right. You are right here with me. As a matter of fact, when I'm speaking to you right now, the Lord is with you right now at this moment. I love to walk out sometimes in the morning and just to have a little fresh air to walk, because I feel so close to God. I can sense his presence. I can hear his voice, and I can see that he's just right there. You know, if I can just have an antenna just tune into him, I can hear what he was speaking to me. Son, this is what I want to show you. This is what I want you to do. This is what the peace I'm going to give it to you for today. It's such an enjoyment to have that intimacy with the Lord. So here are the four things that after he had done on that cross that has given to us, okay? I want you to remember these four things. I'm going to go very quickly because of the time. Number one, again, as Terry said about this year is going to be the breakthrough. How many people desire breakthroughs this year? Okay, let me give you the four breakthroughs, okay? You can keep that in mind, the four breakthroughs. Number one breakthrough, a breakthrough in your body. And I would say, you can say that, but if we don't, I don't remember what I did. Anyway, the breakthrough in your body is the whip. The whip actually is bringing the breakthrough to your body, okay? The whip that was given to who? Was given to Jesus. Jesus suffered through the whipping, through the flogging. Okay, it does happen. Okay, I'm going to share this here. We're going to hold on to this right now. We're not going to go any further on this because I want to just go over the benefits first. So the breakthrough in your body is the whip. Okay, by his stripes, we are healed. Okay, now the number two breakthrough, you can write it down, the breakthrough in your mind. Okay, first is the body. I will keep this picture right here. Or you can even turn it off at this moment. We'll be okay. I want you to turn it on maybe a little later. I don't want to scare everybody away here. So anyway, the first breakthrough is your body. So you have the opportunity to be healed. In fact, after service, people want to be healed. We're going to lay hands on you. We believe the power of God for healing. So the whip is actually bring the breakthrough in your body. The second, the breakthrough in your mind, is the crown of thorns. When they put the thorns, the crown of thorns on his head, is actually giving us the breakthrough in our mind. In other words, during that time, the Roman soldier placed a crown of thorns on the person, on the condemned, which in this case is Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that actually punishment or chastisements bring us the peace. So therefore, the peace of mind is given to you by him suffering the crown of thorns. Number three, what you receive the benefit is that the breakthrough in your conscience. Conscience, I call that the nails. When he put the nail, pounded the nail into the hands and the feet, that's where the piercing is bringing the breakthrough to your conscience. You know, why do I have to call about conscience? Because there are a lot of sins that we committed, we kind of subconsciously keep in our list of things. I don't know about you, but if I'm looking back my past, I have a very long list of sins that I committed. I remember that when I was early age, I was about 12, 13 years old, and I went to the Mount Olives in Tainan, in the south of Tainan. It's called the Ganlan Shan. It's a Mount of Olives. And I was there to go to the summer camp, and we were just 10, 12 years old. We were so young men, and we just excited to go to the camp. It was about 500 kids in the 1960s. And you know what? You know, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, we young boys were going over there not to go to the camp just for Jesus Christ. We went to the camp for the girls. We were looking. We were just checking out all the 500 people. Oh, must be a 250 are girls. So we go out there. We'll look. But in that, God touched me through that camp. At the very end, I remember the young man. I just cut down on my knees. I crawled all the way to the very front, and I just cry out to God. The first day, my heart is still cold. The second day, start warming up. The third day, we were so touched by God, we start weeping and crying. The fourth day, the preacher, the speaker says, now I want you to go out on the countryside, because there was all just rice paddies at that time. He said, go and repent to the Lord. When you finish repenting of all your sins, then you can go back to your dormitory and you can sleep. Guess what? I didn't go back to the dormitory until almost 3 in the morning, because I had such a list of the sins that I committed. Each one of us has a counselor next to us about 10 feet away from us. And he will wait until 3 in the morning after I finish repenting. Then I will go back to the dormitory with him. I remember I was only 10 years old. I got baptized right after I came back from Thailand, back to Taipei. So the breakthrough, the nails, basically, is to have a breakthrough of your conscience. I no longer had to live the conscience of guilt and condemnation and all these things that are really trying to haunt me, that so that I cannot be with him. I cannot be holy anymore. I just know that there's so much condemnation, so much guilt that I have. No. The conscience is clear by him. Number four, the breakthrough in your spirit is the spear. When he put that spear into Jesus' heart, penetrating the heart into the lungs, that spear actually help you to have the breakthrough in your spirit. Now your spirit, all of a sudden, is the Bible talk about a sudden flow of blood and water. That basically the heart was ruptured and the blood has filled with his heart and he died. But that really helped me to see that because of the death of Jesus Christ, now my spirit is free. I have a spirit that's connected with Him. The power of the Holy Spirit is at work in my spirit at all times. So in other words, when I see what He has done, I have four areas that I have experienced the breakthrough. I will continue to experience the breakthrough. It's the body, is the mind, is the conscience, and is the spirit. But then, what has He suffered during that time? This is what I want to show you the photo. Now, this part, I'm going to give you a little bit of warning. I'm going to be a little bit graphic. But I want you to know, what really touched me when I was 12 or 13, what really touched me is when I saw what He has done. I couldn't believe that the price that He paid. Now, I want to let you know, the things that worth me or worth us the most, in my opinion, is the gift that I received, is Jan's mother. She crocheted the best spreads and gave it to us as gifts. The best spreads. Imagine crocheting the best spread. You know how long it take her for years to do that one best spread crocheting? When she gave that gift to us, that gift is so valuable to me. It's priceless. So the gifts is not the value that you see people see, oh, this is very pricey. It must be a good gift. The gift is not because it's pricey. The gift is because it's priceless. The people who paid the price, the people who endured, the people who really had done all that for years just to prepare a one Christmas gift or birthday gift for me, that is priceless. Listen, I want to go back to Jesus did. This is what He did on the cross. Before we know that, I want you to just go home and study the Mark chapter 15, verse 1 to 40. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. It just basically depicted the whole thing of Jesus has gone through that. First, it was the Gethsemane. The Gethsemane is the word that many times we don't understand. We just say, well, it's just the Gethsemane. But Gethsemane is two words breaking together. One word, death, really means just pressing it, grinding it. The other part of the Gethsemane means the life coming out of it. So basically, when He was being pressed, eventually squeezed, coming out of the olives is the olive oil. When He squeezed and being pressed out of Jesus, being pressed, it come out of is the life, it's the essence of life. And so therefore, when He was there, He was actually preparing for the process where He will be pressed. He will be squeezed to the point that will come out is that you and me can receive that life. That's the word Gethsemane. Okay. Now, at that moment, Jesus prayed a prayer. He said, Father, Father, if it's possible, let the cup be taken from me. In other words, He being full human, He basically cried to God, God, I don't think I can take this. God, it's going to be so difficult, Father, for me to take this. I want to give you my story quickly after that. Father, it's so difficult, but yet the last part is what I really touched. He said, yet as not as my will, but your will. Your will be done. Listen, at the very, very end, no matter saints, what you are going through, what I'm going through, at the very end, God really requires is the full obedience. Is can I just at the point and say, God, I know it's difficult, but I surrender to you. I know it's difficult. I'm not able to do this, but you can. It is impossible for me, but everything is possible for you. God, you will help me go through this. So this is basically he prayed. And then he was going through the betrayal from Judas. Then he saw that they accused him for the blasphemy of God's name. Then he was taken, he is scourging and mocking by the people. Now, then he was taken away to be executed, to be crucified. Pilate, at that time, Pontius Pilate didn't know what to do. He said, listen, this guy, I can't accuse him for anything, but if you feel he needs to be crucified, guess what? I'm going to use water, I'm going to wash my hands off because I have nothing to do with that. I'm just doing a task because I could not see anything wrong with this man. By the way, the Romans, actually Roman soldiers, if you read the book, the text of the Acts, you don't see them anytime accusing Jesus with a sin. It's just the Jews. Jews says crucify him. So anyway, here is the things that happened I want to share with you. Can we show the slides real quick? I want to go through this quickly. Now, you can see that the two soldiers are taking turns. This crucifixion is the maximized punishment ever. Actually, it was not invented by the Romans. Actually, the Greek, in the Greek culture, Alexander the Great actually adopted using this, but he was not an inventor either. This can trace all the way back 1,000 years before the Roman Empire. The Assyrians actually used in the Bronze Age, they had the crucifixion. So it basically passed down all until it gets to the Roman Empire. And Roman Empire thought it was a great thing to scare those people who are rebels, scare those people who are political opponents, scare those people who are really the slaves. So they adopted and they maximized the crucifixion. In fact, 70 years before Jesus was born, 70 BC, they had the rebellion taking place. They lined up for miles with 6,000 people hung on the cross. So everybody can see them being hung on the cross, and they would eventually die by suffocating right on that cross. And that's the situation that happened even before Jesus was born. Now comes to Jesus. This is what they did. Now, all these condemned will be first going through the scourging. Now, the scourging part, actually, people actually don't wear any clothes. They were naked because part of the design is to shame them. They want to shame them to the maximum. And so what they did is they had them, they would basically start whipping on them methodically. You can see systematically on both sides, so they have two soldiers. Each one of them, they know how to do a whip it to the point that it would get to the maximum pain out of that person. Now, I want you to take a look at these whip right here. You can see the leather thongs right here, and the wooden handle is here, and then you have basically these things at the end of the stripes is got the pieces, broken pieces. There were bones and they were lead. There were metal balls and they were bones and they were small pieces. And they have the pottery pieces also there. So it basically is a combination of all these things can really hit you to the most, and your blood will be kind of all kind of come together, and then we whip it, it would just splash all over the place. And I know that I'm getting a little graphic, I will move on right away. What happens at the end, you will see that almost like peeling layer by layer, you will see the bones, because all the muscle, all the blood is all coming out. At 30 lashes, they do that over and over and over to Jesus. How many of you have seen the movie The Passion of Christ? Okay. In fact, I just watched that yesterday, last night. I just want to kind of be touched by that movie once again. This is what happened to Jesus. This is the scourging, the flogging happened even before he was taken to the cross. I want to go to the next one to show you real quick. Now, here is so you can see they will have to carry their own beams. Normally, the post is there, or the post will be carried by somebody else, or they will hung people on the tree. So what the condemned will do is the condemned will carry the beams by themselves. Now, this beam here is about 1.8 meters long. And so you carry this, and the weight is between 36 to 60 kilos, 36 kilos to 60 kilos. So the person's already being whipped and is really so difficult, and then he still have to carry these beams to Golgotha, to the places where he'll be crucified. Now, of course, you got three languages over here to say the King of the Jews, right? Actually, the Jews want him to put down. He claimed he's the King of Jews, but the Romans said, no, we're going to just say he's the King of the Jews. That's what they put it on. Now, I want you to watch this point here. While we're still here, we want you to know, he carried this. He has to go through the public places where everybody can laugh at him. They can throw stone at him. They can spat on him. They can do all these terrible things so that they can humiliate him. And it's so difficult for him to carry. Sometimes he falls one time and the second time. But the maximum humiliation is that everybody be watching it. And some of these people carry this and they were still naked when they were carrying it. You know, when I look at this as a Jesus carry, I imagine, I said 36 to 60 kilos, and this person has been whipped and whipped and whipped. These people have not been speaking, has not been eating and sleeping and drinking water. How in the world he gets the strength to walk for two and a half miles sometimes to get to the Golgotha, to the places of the skull, where he will be crucified? How in the world he could do that? You know, I exercise and I carry bags and I travel all over the world. I know 60 kilos, a lot of weight for a person to carry. But yet, this is what Jesus did. Then he gets to Golgotha. Now, before this happened, I want to just one more thing to let you know. The crown that they put on him. They put on that the crown of thorns on his head, and they gave him the wreath, and they got down on their knees, and they literally said, pretending they worship him, and they mock him. He said, oh, you're the king of Jews, we worship you. But then they spit on him. The maximum humiliation the soldiers can do to him. Imagine a person knowing that this is going to be coming. Crucifixion is waiting for him. But he chose to do it with one reason alone. He said, so that you and I can receive salvation. So the redemption can take place in our lives. I want to see the next one. If you see this, okay, the one before that, please. You see the nails? A lot of these nails that you see, many times we see in the palm of the hand, actually it was right here in the wrists. The rest in between the two bones. They put this nails about 18 centimeters and it's a square head. It's about 1 centimeter in square head. They put this long nail through here because they want that to be square so that the people cannot pull it out easily. And so they put this into the person, the one hand, another hand. Imagine how long it takes because the pain is excruciating. It's really hard to suffer this, but yet they put through in between the bones, nerves and muscles all between, and they will go all the way in to put that on the cross. And they put the feet the same way. I look at this, and as a youngster, I look at this as a God. How in the world can anybody suffer like that? And this is not the end of it. They have to lay this on the ground so they can pound all these nails in, and they flipped it over so they can tie him. And they just lift him up, the whole thing. Let's take a look at the next one here. Here's the nails, the same thing. You can see where it puts. I go to the next one because of the time. We'll just go a little bit quickly. Okay, now, I want to go to the last one before the spear. Can you skip the spear? I will come back later. Let's take a look at this. This is what I want to let you know, the respiration during the crucifixion. Now, this is where they put in the nails and the hands, and you have to be in the bend position because if you are like this, you won't be able to breathe. So they give you room to breathe by bending your knees a little bit when they nail the hands and the feet so that when you have the body weight draw you down where you cannot bring the air, inhale, exhale, what you do is you lift your body. While you lift your body, your feet and your hands both have to exert the strength. Watch this. For me to do that, to come up, to just breathe one more time, it has to be like a lift of my body. Then you'll drop the body down again. Then you have to breathe. You drop your body down. You do this repeatedly, just get one breath at a time. While you're doing this, Your hands are turning and your feet are turning. Imagine the nails in it, and your hands and feet are actually grinding the nail while you're trying to just take a breath. Not only that, listen, he already been whipped in the backside. The blood, all this, layer upon layers, the bones start showing up. All this has to be against this post who is very coarse. Imagine the wounded back and the coarse wood has to grind together, has to touch, has to move like this when you're trying to move your body up. You know, I actually debate whether I want to share this or not, but I'll tell you what really helped me. It helped me to see the price that Jesus paid. Does not bring so-called like a sympathy or feeling sorry for him? No. That's the depth of love through the power of the revelation of the cross I received. I said, Jesus, no one ever, ever, ever would do that for me. But yet you love me so much. That's the price you pay. Jesus have to take one breath at a time. Some people last for 3 to 4 days, and some people only last for 3 to 4 hours. Depends on how much of a chastisement, punishment at the very beginning, the scourging. And so let's go back to the one picture in front of this. Yes, this is when they put the spear into his heart, and his heart has already been swollen. So when they poke through the heart into the lungs, that's when the water and the blood accumulated in the lungs and accumulated in the heart spilled out. That's when you see the water and the blood. But Jesus, at that moment, Jesus already dead. When they look at the situation, they say, well, should we break his legs or not? Because if people continue to suffer but yet not died, then they will break the legs so they can speed up the process so they can be dead earlier. So the whip would not only to tear the skin, but also to expose the muscle, leading to a state where the condemned feel like he could neither live nor die. In other words, he doesn't know whether he should live or die. He just couldn't suffer anymore. But at the very, very end here, you can see that Jesus has gone through all this simply just because for you and me. I want to share that with you today simply for the one reason alone. Jesus did this. It's the price he paid to love us. Just like my mother-in-law spent years, maybe 2 or maybe 3 years, to crusade a bedspread just so that Jen and I can enjoy that bedspread. She spent probably a couple years to do that. It is the price for the gift that the people paid. It's not because it's pricey. It's because it's priceless. Today, at the very beginning, I want to let you know the very last part is what would be your price to pay to follow him. This part, I want to just summarize real quickly. 3 areas that we will see Jesus want us to follow him. He said, if you want to follow me, then love me the way I love you. Love me more than you love anybody else. Your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, even your own life. Saints, I want to let you know that that's how I want to love Jesus. I want to love Jesus with all my heart. My mother is at 100 years old. I have not taken care of her for 40 years because I live in the communist country. God gave her the age. I want to let you know that when I was arrested, God gave me so much grace to see the passion of Christ before I was arrested. So the whole time when they were trying to interrogate me, we used sleep deprivation, food deprivation. They tried to wear me out to the point that I would spill out the beans. But they didn't succeed. Because the whole time, it was like a replay of Jesus and a crucifixion through my own mind. I was watching how Jesus has gone through the process step by step. I want to let you know that what I have done is absolutely nothing to compare what Jesus has done on the cross. Yes, I was not giving food. Yes, I was not giving water. Yes, I was not giving sleep. But yet, Jesus had paid the price that I could never, ever pay. I want to let you know that we were arrested on the Good Friday, but they couldn't find enough evidence. They released me on the Resurrection Sunday. Can we give God the glory? Hallelujah. Yes, I lost everything. Yes, I was stripped naked. In other words, when I go to the bathroom, the door has to be open. I would be watching 24 hours. They watch me like a hawk. And there's two soldiers, and not soldiers, but two police taking turns. Yes, I have gone through. There's nothing ever can compare what Jesus has gone through. Beloved, I want to share with you as I'm coming to the end. There's no better place to come to the cross and get down on our knees and say, God, Jesus, what you have done on that cross, I will never, ever be able to pay what you have done for my life. You love me so much. You have gone through this horrendous, unbelievable torture and trials and difficulties by your wound that I could be healed. I thank God that you give me the opportunity to serve you today. God, I want to serve you with all my heart for the rest of my life. I want to encourage you this morning to cry out to God. Saints, it is the love of God that helped us, compelled us to be so crazy about Him. It is the love of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more and nothing less. And the love being experienced and being demonstrated on that cross. If you are willing to do, to respond, say, God, I want to pick up the cross and follow you. I want to be that disciple. I want to forsake it all. I want to pick up my own cross and follow you. I can tell you right now, you are going to experience the power, a supernatural power that you have never, ever experienced in your life. I have done it. I'm 70-some years old. I'm crazy about the Lord. Because I know, God, I only live because of you. There's nothing more and nothing less for me to live. Jesus Christ down on the cross. As we're preparing for the whole series of cross messages, I want all of us to have our heart prepared to see the foundation of the cross is what Jesus has done that become the revelation to our following Him. If today that you have never received Jesus Christ into your hearts, you say, God, I want to experience a love. Especially during the holiday seasons, that sometimes you feel the loneliest person. You feel seems like nobody really cared about you. But I want you to know Jesus is by your side. He's with you right now. And He will bring that comfort. Nobody ever can bring that comfort to you. Receive Jesus Christ into your heart. If anyone here that I can see you, I'll be praying for you. I love all the people to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and the Lord. Don't hold back. Give your Lord the chance to touch you today. If you are the one, I want you to just bow your head. I'm going to say a prayer for you. I want you to know that Jesus loves you more than you ever know. Father, I pray for those people who are open to you to receive Jesus, to receive the redemption work that you have done on that cross today, that they will receive you because you love them so much that you die for them. I thank you, God, that the Spirit of God and the salvation come right now to those people at this moment. I also want to pray for those people who received Jesus already. This is the new year, and you see the breakthrough that is laid out for you in your body, your mind, your conscience, and your spirit. But today, you're saying, God, even though the salvation cost me nothing, but to follow you, to be a disciple, is going to cost me everything, and I'm willing to follow you. I want to pray for those people, because I want to be that one. I want to be that one and say, God, not only Jesus, you carried your cross. God, Jesus, I'm willing to carry my cross to follow you. die to my sin, die to my selfishness, die to my jealousy, die to my insecurity, die to my unforgiveness. I want to be the one to follow you. If you are those people and you feel the Lord is touching your heart this morning, I want you to just right now, just take a moment so I can pray for you. Just a moment, just a minute. You said, Pastor Timothy, I'm the one. I need your prayer. How about just raise your hands so I can see where you are? I saw the hands raised. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. No problem. I will be the one raising my hands. I need Christ every day in my life. I cannot do without him. If you are those one who raise your hands, would you do me just one more thing? Would you just stand up so I can pray? Just stand up so I can pray. Give me the honor to pray for you. The best thing can ever do is to God to say, I want to follow you. I want to be that disciple. Yes, the salvation cost me nothing, but discipleship cost me everything. I want to be your disciple. I want to see what the price you pay is the price I'm willing to pay. You have been really misunderstood. You have been mistreated. You have financial difficulties. You have been used or misused by others, being violated by other people. People have really scolded you. People have really said bad things about you. People have smeared your names and reputation. People have taken advantage of you. Guess what? Jesus bore all that on behalf of us. Today's the day that we can follow him. I'm proud of all the people who are willing to say, God, I am your disciples. I want to follow you. Father, I pray right now for those who stood up, and also people who are sitting there. I pray, oh God, that all of us, starting with the day, starting with the new year, to understand the power of the cross, the power of your cross. God, help me to receive that revelation every single day so that I can be all I can be for you, God. Only you alone is my hope, is my joy, is my peace. And I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Let everyone say, amen. Give God the glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.